There's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree, and it whispers, draw closer to me. Leave this world far behind. There are new heights to climb and a new place in me you will find. For whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'll be willing to do. For whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'll be willing to do. Take my houses and lands, take my dreams and my plans, for I'm placing my whole life in your hands. And if you call me someday to a land far away, Lord, I'll go and your will obey. Take the dearest things to me, if that's how it must be, to draw me closer to thee. Let my disappointments come, lowly days without the sun, if in sorrow more like you I'll become. For whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'll be willing to do. For whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'll be willing to do. I'll trade sunshine for rain, comfort for pain, that's what I'll be willing to do. For whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'll be willing to do. That's what I'll be willing to do.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Miss Beth, for that good song. Folks, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. I already said that already. You got to forgive me. I'm just nervous, okay? In our text, we'll pick it up right in verse number 1 of chapter number 1. And it says here, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you and peace from our God and our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 3 says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. And here is the obviously 2 Corinthians. It's the second letter to the Corinth church that Paul had wrote. And in Paul's first letter to the Corinth church, he is pulling no punches. He's calling out things that are going in the church. He even, in the first, very first chapter, he's calling out division that's in the church. And First Baptist Church, this is a side note, but I hope we never get comfortable with there being any type of quarrel or division here at First Baptist Church. There should always be a spirit of unity. And praise the Lord, I believe we have that here, but let's guard that. Let's be sure we guard that with everything we got. Because that was the first sin that really Paul addressed in the first letter to the Corinth church. Over all the other sins he mentions in the book, that was the first one. And he started, but like I say, he's not pulling any punches when he comes to this Corinth church. In fact, the whole book really is just calling them out for the things that they were doing wrong. And I'm glad there's not a First Baptist Church book in the Bible that calls us out for everything we do. But really, the whole Bible does that, okay? We can correct ourselves by the Word of God. However, in 2 Corinthians, we see a different tone from Paul. We see a different, not that he's a different man at all, but he's taking a different approach, and there's a different tone coming from Paul. He's more pulling back his punches a little bit and dealing with some different. And I think it's interesting that the first topic he deals with is the God of all comfort in this first chapter. That's what we're going to try to do to preach on tonight, is the God of all comfort. And let's pray and we'll get right into the message. Dear Heavenly Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. Thank you so much for the opportunity to preach. God, I pray you would just please bless the message. Lord, I know you've used it in my life, Lord. Far in the past, really, before I even knew I was going to be able to preach, you've been working on this thought in my heart, and I thank you so much for working in my heart individually. And God, I pray that this message would just be a blessing to your people tonight. God, I pray you would please work through it, and God, I pray you would please calm my nerves and fill me with your power, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you lived any period of time, whether you're the youngest in the room, whether you're a missions kids, or you're a teenager or you're an adult, okay? I won't go any further than that before I get in trouble. But if you're any person in this room, probably has had some kind of difficulty that's come in their life and some kind of event that has put your life in a whirlwind. Maybe not the missions kids, but maybe they haven't lived as long as some folks. But most of the people in this room have had something that has caused their life to be spun out of control. Maybe we call these trials, okay? If you've been around Christianity any time, you've heard this word trial. And a trial is really anything. It could be something with your health. It could be a trial of your family, what's going on in your family. It could be a trial of your finances. Maybe it's even the loss of a loved one. Whatever the case may be, we all have trials. Can I get a witness? Anybody go through some trials every once in a while? Yes, okay. I'm not the only one. All right. But despite all these trials, there is some important truths that I feel like we can find from this portion of Scripture here tonight. I'm going to do my best to try to point some of these out. But the three truths I want to talk about tonight is, number one, is that there's a peace during trials. There is a peace during trials. Let's pick it up in verse number three. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies." And notice this phrase, "and the God of all comfort." Verse number four, it says, "who comfort us in all our tribulation." It doesn't just say some. It doesn't just say a little bit. It says all of our tribulation. It says he's the God of all comfort. And that's a blessing to know, is that no matter what situation comes in life, no matter how bad the situation may seem, how bad the storm may seem, God is the God of all comfort. Not just some, but all comfort. When your situation seems hopeless, his days are present, just remember that there is a peace that is beyond all of our understanding, beyond all we can think of. There is a peace that is accessible to the child of God every time we have a trial in our lives. Turn with me to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. In verse number 6, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, all right, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The reason I believe, and once again, you can come out to the service and tell me, "Oh, PC, you're wrong, but what I see from Scripture, the reason why anyone worries about their situation, is flooded with thoughts of worry and maybe of doubt that God can, is because we truly do not understand the peace of God. The Bible says in Philippians right there, it says, "Be careful for nothing." That doesn't mean, you know, a careful, like, you know, just prepare. It means not to worry. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God." See, there's a prerequisite. There's a prerequisite to the peace of God. It is to have a communication time with God, allowing God to speak to you, allowing yourself to speak to God. Have that prayer time with God. There's a prerequisite to the peace of God. And God wants us to know him in a very real way. The sad thing is that we just don't have the desire on our end. We don't want to know God like we ought to. We don't want to know that peace of God that people talk about. If you ever heard any stories, probably even around the church, maybe there has been some of you that have gone through something. You know what? You know about that peace of God. But can I tell you, friend, if you've never experienced the peace of God like the Bible teaches, you can. You can easily access that, that peace that passes all understanding. But like I said, it's a prerequisite. It requires communication on your end, and God is going to do his communication part on his end. Yes, God is our Father, but he is also our friend. He sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:24 says, it says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I love that verse because we like to quote that in, you know, there's a friend closer than a brother. But that first part of the verse actually just poses a question for every single child of God. That first part, it really is. When I think of that verse, I ask the question to myself. I says, how good of a friend am I to God? Yes, we got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. Praise the Lord for that, right? But how good of a friend am I to God? When's the last time I communicated with God? When's the last time I went to him about my cares and my worries and my situation? Oh, we go to everybody else, right? We talk to our family. We talk to our friends. We talk to anybody who we think can just want to give us a listening ear. But friend, there's a listening ear always accessible to you every single day. Yet, we often will neglect it. Yet, we are a bad friend to God. And when trials come, I already asked, but where do you run? When trials come into your life, where do you run? Do you run to God? Do you run to something else, whether it's something of substance or whether it's something of a person or someone you go to? Where do you run when trials come in your life? And all the while we run everywhere else, when we run to the different substances or the different people, when we do all these different things, and guess what? God is still there waiting. He's just waiting to give peace that lasts, peace that is true peace, and peace that will last through our trials and throughout the rest of our life, really. I think about it this way. I'll do this. So this is an illustration. We think about a wound, okay? How many of you ever experienced a super bad wound? You probably have had, like, a big gash or something. Okay, we got a lot of hands. Mercy, okay? Probably some scars in this room. But, all right, let's imagine this. Imagine I got a big old wound on my arm, and it's deep. Like, it's there. Like, someone took a pocket knife and cut a big old chunk out. I don't know. Something happened. And, yeah, you can see it. It's there, okay? But it's bleeding bad. It's deep. And you almost can see the bone. Now, I'm just going to do what I want to do, and I'm just going to put some duct tape around that thing, okay? Any men can testify? Amen? All right. Praise the Lord for that. All right. Now, look, what's going to happen, though, is that once I wrap that duct tape around, it ain't going to stop bleeding. It's probably going to start leaking out the sides and start leaking out of, you know, wherever it's leaking out of, but it's really gross. What I really need is to go to a doctor. What I really need to do is go get that thing stitched up. Am I right? Right? Any doctors in the house? Okay, all right. But what I really need to do is get it stitched up. But I'm just going to do what I want to do. I'm going to, you know, just put some duct tape on it. You'll be all right. You know, it won't fall off until, like, next week. But that's a silly illustration. But the reality is that's how we treat God when it comes to this area of comfort in our trials. You know, we get hurt because the reality is, folks, is hurt is real. Whether it's the hurt of someone in your family maybe did something to you or whatever the case, maybe the loss of a loved one, whatever the case, hurt is real. And sadly, we play like that. We use duct tape. We use everything else to try to stop the hurt, but we don't go to the doctor. We don't go to the one who can give us relief, the one who can heal our pain, the one that can give us peace. True peace during trials only comes from God. I'll move on. Number two, the purpose of trials is this. We're going to pick it up in verse number four. It says, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Verse number 6, it says, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Every single thing that we experience in life or anything that we go through has to go across God's desk. I'm sure all of you heard that illustration before. And the reality is that everything that comes, whether it's good or bad, goes by God's desk, if you will. And he puts his stamp of approval on everything that comes. And so if we get bent out of shape about a trial, if we get bent out of shape about a bad situation, really, we're getting bent out of shape about what God's allowed to happen in our lives. Now, don't get me wrong. Some bad things happen because of our own stupidity, okay? And can I get a witness on that? Have you ever been there at School of Hard Knocks? So that's a reality. But everything, whether good or bad, comes and gets God's stamp of approval. And I don't come to you tonight, you know, thinking that I know exactly why God does everything he does. But I do think that this portion of Scripture gives us a couple of truths about the purpose of trials. And the first one that I see, though, is we should reciprocate the comfort. That's in verse number 4. It says, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. How many people? Anybody? Okay, most? Okay. If you were like me and you always struggle with that, the difference, I'll tell you. Okay, so sympathy is more like, hey, Brother Briler, you know, I heard you've been going through something, man, and I feel sorry for you. I mean, I can't imagine what you're going through, but I'm sorry. I want to tell you, you know, I'm praying for you. That's sympathy, okay? And that's nice. Don't get me wrong. That is super nice, right? You know, I appreciate anybody who comes up to me and says, you know, we've been praying for you. Awesome. Praise the Lord for that. Now, however, empathy is this. Empathy is, man, Brother Briler, I've been where you've been at. You know what? You've been going through it. I was there too. And that's empathy. Empathy is just saying that, you know what, you have been there. You've gone through something very similar to their trial that they're going through, and you can attest of that peace of God which passeth of all understanding. So we should reciprocate that comfort. We should reciprocate the comfort that God gave us to them. And now, I'll stop there too, though. That shouldn't be just a coping mechanism for the one that's struggling. The one that's struggling shouldn't just rely on everybody else's stories about the peace of God. They should seek the peace of God themselves and get that peace which passeth all understanding. But that's the blessing, though. We can be a blessing to someone we see struggling if we just reciprocate the comfort that God gave us. I'll be honest. It means a whole lot more. And once again, I appreciate the sympathy, okay? I appreciate the sympathy, but if you're a person that's just looking for sympathy all the time, man, I can't help you. But I like the person who's empathetic, the one that has been there, and I'll go to you and say, you know what, I've been there, and I know what you're going, I don't know all the feelings you may be having, but I can tell you this, I've been in a similar situation, and God came through. You can be a blessing to someone else if you just reciprocate that comfort. The second one, though, is to relive the comfort, to relive the comfort. In verse number 5, it says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. It is our responsibility to relive the comfort. When God gives peace in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a storm, it is of our responsibility to not forget what he did. Always keep in your mind, you know, how God worked, whether it was through a verse or whether it was through the help of someone else, or maybe, honestly, whether it was a little thing, maybe a note or something. Let God know, keep that in the forefront of your mind and say, you know what, God, no matter what storms come in my life, no matter what storms, approach my life or darken my horizon, guess what? I can trust you and I can lean on you to give me peace. Everybody always, well, that's in there, I say everybody. If you come to my office, you'll see a card, and I always keep that card, not because, you know, I'm just preaching or living what I'm preaching right now, but it's because I want to keep on the forefront of my mind that God can work miracles. He can work in my life. You heard that story. If you haven't, see me after service. I ain't got time to tell it. The reality is that we all have maybe something little that God has done in our life, maybe something big, but always remember what God did in your life and relive that comfort. So the purpose of our trials is so we can help others who are in the midst of a storm, and so we ourselves can relive what God did for us in past trials. The last point, though, is number three. I'll keep you short tonight, okay? Point number three is the partakers of trials. I'll say this, folks. Trials are common to all believers of Christ. If you're going to be in this Christian life for any period of time, we asked the question at the beginning of the service, have you ever experienced something, a trial, okay? A lot of us raised our hand. And the reality is that we all are going to face trials in our life. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of just when. And if you think you are exempt to, you know, trials and, you know, storms coming into your life, then you are very wrong, my friend. You are very wrong. If you think that God would never send trials in your life or to his children, then just ask Job. I think about Job. In Job chapter 1 and verse number 1, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. In my mind, this is the perfect man. The Bible literally says he's a perfect man. He eschewed evil. Why would he deserve any punishment? Why would he deserve a storm to come in his life or a trial to come in his life? It's because God's children are going to receive a trial in their life. And they're necessary. Trials are necessary, folks. Necessary for what? To make us a better Christian. To make us stronger in our faith. To make us lean closer to God. That's all what trials are there for, is just to have, maybe that's because God wants a closer relationship with us. Once again, I don't come here saying that I know the reason why God does what he does. But I'll say this, is that maybe God wants to have a closer relationship with you. So when trials come, don't push them away. Don't push them, say, you know what, God, you did this to me. I'll never forgive you. That's a very foolish statement. Always trust God. Lean on God in every single thing that comes in your life. Being a follower of Christ includes being a participant in his suffering. Turn with me to Romans. Romans chapter 8. I promise we're almost done, okay? I promise. We're almost done. Romans chapter 8, I'm there already because I got it bookmarked, but you'll have to keep turning. But I'll read it for sake of time here. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 17, it says, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon, I think that's kind of funny. Paul's a Southerner, y'all. Paul's a Southerner, I promise it. I don't know how I can prove it besides that, but Paul's a Southerner. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Listen, what Paul's describing here is there's a brighter day coming. Though the skies may seem dark, though the trials may seem like they never end, guess what, folks? We can rejoice to know that there is a brighter day coming for the child of God. There's a place called heaven where we'll never have to experience a trial ever again, where we won't have to lose a loved one, where we won't have to endure the hardships and trials of this life. There is a brighter day coming. And these trials are not random. These trials are but purposeful and Christ-centered. These trials will bring us closer to God, like I mentioned, and as long as we respond to them appropriately. That's the key right there. We can have all the trials come in our life, but if we don't respond appropriately, then guess what? We won't learn the lesson that God wants us from the trial. We cannot always control what is going on in our lives, but we can control how we act. That's something I try to tell any teenager that comes to me or any situation, if I'm getting on them about something, I always try to tell them, you know, you may not be able to control what the other person said or what the other person did or what's going on in your life, but you can control how you respond. You can control how you react. And that's the same thing with the child of God concerning trials. We can control how we react during the trials. So in conclusion, we are all going to suffer at some point a trial, a storm, really just any type of health issue. And if God bless you with a good bill of health, praise the Lord. But some folks, they don't have that. Some folks struggle with that. Whatever the case may be, whatever your trial is, whatever the God has put on your plate, if you will, just learn to trust God. Learn to trust the God of all comfort. It is our responsibility to respond appropriately in this matter of the God of all comfort. The only appropriate response to this matter is to trust God through it all. And the question must be asked, though, is are you claiming the peace of God every single day in your life? Or ask yourself this question, are you reciprocating that comfort? Maybe you've already received that peace of God which passes all understanding, but are you reciprocating that comfort that God gave to others? If not, I'll ask this, why not? If not, why not? If you're just holding that to yourself, not trying to be a blessing to someone else, I'm telling you, you can do a lot of help. God can use you in a mighty way if you would just allow him to, and use him to allow yourself to be used to reciprocate the comfort of God to others. So let's make sure we respond to the trials in our life appropriately by claiming the peace of God and the comfort of God in our lives. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house.